Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Light Podcast Redux. I am your host today, joined with co-host
Ricky Sofa Bitches. What?
She's back from California. We want to welcome you, the WROM radio listeners in Detroit, worldwide, internet users, subscribers. We're here today with a very funny, he's actually been called a young veteran, which I really love. A young veteran from MTV's Hip Hop Hollywood Squares on MTV2, Elite Daily's Gen Y, Fox's Laughs, Popcorn Flix's Live at New York Comedy Club. You have your own documentary in your young veteran life, on your life, One Mic. Please welcome Nico White.
Long live the Kang.
I feel like this is not even it, dude. Like, there's like 20 other shit that he did that we just didn't.
Since then, yeah, a couple things.
20 like, other shit. Days. I love that she goes
so
right into
much
it.
Shit. I'm mm-hmm. just Nico.
Nico. Yes. Nico. Nico. Okay. Nico, you started at 14?
Yes, ma'am.
Which okay. is like 2 years ago.
So respectful.
He just turned 21, didn't you?
No, I just turned 23.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, like, but the thing about Nico, well, we'll get to it, but Nico, like, Nico, you have, like, that's what you, the young veteran thing is, like, because you have, like a very mature, mm-hmm. I want to say old soul in you.
Yeah, oh,
you
know? God. Here
you know?
We go.
But you know, because yeah. we've been, I've known you, like, at least 3-4 years now. Mm-hmm. We met at Greenwich Village Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. And I mean, to say you're like a composed young man is probably accurate. You're not a fly off the handle dude.
No, you're pretty right. But see, I keep my composure around you all. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, really?
Because yeah, well, that's work. You know what I mean? Since this is all I do, when I'm around comics, most of the time I'm chilling. You know
okay.
what I'm saying? But when I do have my moments, I have my moments.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I recently almost got in a fight with a skateboarder on the train. Because you gotta understand, I don't mess with people, so I don't expect to be messed with. You know
right.
what I mean? So I'm on the train, this little nigga gets on, he's on his skateboard, and he has to be about 20. So you know how you look at certain people, it's like, why would you even try me? He gets on and the train's about to move and he tries to step on his skateboard. And of course the train fucking jukes and he almost falls off. So I giggled, I go
right.
He looks up at me and I hear him go, but I'm not looking at him. I hear him go, something funny? So I'm like, nah, he ain't talking to me. There's no way. Then he said again, he's like, something funny? I looked up. I said, hell yeah, yo stupid ass trying to get on a skateboard on a moving train, asshole. He goes, next time keep that shit to yourself. So I took off my watch and said, or what? Or you'll do what? I will beat the shit out of you on this train. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, right. I am from the fucking projects of Harlem. You know
I would not see that side, Nico. I would.
I've not seen
Nico's
it either.
Like soft.
No,
not,
I don't.
But okay, but okay. Just for the record, was he like a big guy or just like a white skinny
no.
dude? Like,
no. Black kid. You know what I'm saying? Black kid. He didn't look. He wasn't particularly strong, but he's probably about my height, so about 6'2".
Okay, so
okay,
it, was
so
it would
a
be
big
a fair
kid.
Fight. It would be a
yeah,
fair
yeah,
fight.
Yeah.
Two fairly big kids.
Yeah, no, that was a man. He was yeah, definitely right. He was definitely in his 20s.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? He was just a fucking nerd on a skateboard. But I'm like, why would you even mess with my equilibrium? You know what I mean? I'm not stunting you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They think that's the thing. They keep doing that to other people, and no one says anything back until
right.
somebody fucking pulls a gun one day, and then they'll shut the fuck up for the rest of their lives.
But that's what I'm saying. So you going, because I always had this thing like, why do you have such audacity with me? What makes you so comfortable with me in that moment? That's what pissed me off. Because I'm like, yo, I didn't. It's not like I'm like, look at your dumb ass. I was like. And then, do you see something funny? Yeah, man. I see a lot of shit that's funny. And you're not going to put your hands on me. So now, because I'm the type of person, when I get angry, I stay angry. So he's sitting across from me.
Welcome to my world.
Right. So I'm staring at this motherfucker.
Yeah.
And finally, I don't know if he thought to himself, like, okay, this dude might be crazy. Or he just didn't want any type of problem because he got up and moved to the next car. But it's like, dude, you started that. Because now let's say I was somebody else. Now let's say I didn't want to talk. Let's say I wasn't the type to be like, and what the fuck you going to do? I'm the type to just get up and punch you yeah. in the mouth. Then what? You know what I mean?
Right.
But yeah, I keep that all out of comedy.
Okay. And to be fair, I don't stay. I stay angry for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And then
live,
I, but
you
then
live
it,
in New York. What are
you
know,
do? Well, it's, a, you
right.
know, it's volatile. You never know what could happen here. We're always mm-hmm. kind of on edge. And those, like, you know, it's just like so silly, these things that happen.
I remember walking with Gina before I left LA. We were just mm-hmm. walking down the block. This guy cut her off with his bicycle. And I'm like, that's just fucking normal shit.
Right.
Gina goes, fuck you, you piece of shit. And she gives him the finger. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, yeah,
like, that's,
yeah.
That's my girl. That's uh-huh. my girl.
Like, well, yeah, you don't cut me off. I mean, like, look both ways. What happened to look both ways? What? People look both ways. I'm looking both ways.
What
you
happened
just
to simple respect? What happened to that?
Oh, really? You know that's I mean? A great
well, that,
question.
That's the wrong city to ask. There's everything.
No, it's not. I've been here my whole life, and people had that. You know what I'm saying? People had that up until the obsession with cell phones got. Like, when cell phones became flat screen LCDs, that's when people lost simple respect. Just simple enough respect to say, excuse me. Simple respect to actually look when you're walking. You know what I'm saying?
Those things, yeah.
The simple respect.
Simple respect of theater, when you're in a theater or you're at a show.
Right. Or when you're at a show, to put your phone away.
Right.
Before phones could be so entertaining, I don't think, because I was doing comedy back then, as a matter of fact. Because that's like, what, 2003, 4,
okay.
when people could still like smoke in the clubs and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
So if that's the case, back then the phones were real basic. It was just the numbers and the person calling you, and that was it. You could play like the stationary bowling. But now, they could watch full movies on their phone with better quality than
yes.
than they originally saw it. Yeah. So now when you tell people put their phones away, they look at you like, what? Comedian I've never heard of? Put my phone away? Nigga, I'm watching Kevin Hart while you talking your shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's gotten down to.
It's
so let's talk about how you mm-hmm. came up in comedy.
Let's do it.
Harlem.
Yes.
Okay. Family life. Give me a little, you know, paint the picture, as I say.
All right. So, my parents, when I was born, they had an apartment in the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? So I was raised between the Bronx and Harlem. So my grandma Josie, always lived in Harlem. So every day, religiously, we would leave the house, we'd go visit grandma. So I basically had like two homes.
Okay, and how many in the family?
Oh, it's only, it's four of us.
Okay.
So it's mom, dad, brother, me.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Who's older?
Oh, my brother's older than me by 14 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For the
were
longest.
You even expected? Or
no, I don't think I was. I don't think I was. I think my parents were just having
like,
sex.
Wow.
And they was like, you know, it's
they're
been
like,
long.
Fuck it.
Right. We've been together long enough. Well, you know what I'm saying? I come inside you. Whatever happens, happens.
Very good.
And
okay.
they did. And here I am.
And here you are.
You know
wow.
what I mean?
Blessing.
And hopefully I'm the one that can buy them a house. You know?
I hope
hopefully.
So. Okay, so what happens? You're going
you
back and
forth.
You
can buy me a house, too, by the way.
I'll buy you a house, but we got to get married first, Ricky. You know what I'm saying? We could do that. Ricky White? Yeah,
I like
that,
Ricky
that's
White.
A
I
bad
like
name.
It too. Yeah, that works.
Yeah. And
okay.
you Israeli, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm
I always
Jewish.
Wanted to be a part of the chosen people. Hell
oh, yeah.
yeah.
All right.
Is that an official proposal? Because I'll think about it.
I won't say no, but I will say the offer's on the table. Why not?
All right.
Yeah,
he's giving me the dirty wow. eye. All right,
yeah. All right. Look at that.
Don't get jealous, cheat.
It's okay. I'm off relationships again. Okay, so let's.
Oh, we can talk about those too.
We
later.
Will. We will talk about them. Maybe I'll get some insight. Okay, so go ahead.
So after I'm born, you know, like I said, between Bronx and Harlem, and I always went to school in the Bronx. You know what I'm saying? So I've always been really shy, believe it or not. I was never the most socially active person, you know what I'm saying? Because back then, like, I talk funny now, I think, but back then, oh, God, it was bad. Because, like, I still have a lisp, you know what I mean?
Slight, yes.
But back then, that shit was just an impediment. Like, the S's were 8 syllables long. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So, wow. When I talked to people, it was always, like, some type of joke being told to me, but I was a smart aleck, you know what I'm saying? So, if you came at me, I cut real deep, and I did it fast because I didn't want you to have a chance to say something else.
And that was a skill that you had?
Yeah, immediately.
Immediately. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So that and the memory of a whale, you know what I'm saying? Or is it an elephant? Which one?
Elephant.
Elephant.
So one thing yeah. I would do is I would listen to people, and I would go back home and repeat the stories to like my grandfather and stuff like mm-hmm. that because I was cursing at a real early age, and my grandparents were country people. My grandmother ain't liking my grandfather loved the shit. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So... One of my mother's favorite stories is my godmother got in an argument with some lady. She was calling all types of hoes and bitches, and that's why you can't have no kids, blah, blah, blah. So I took that story and I told it to my granddad. And from what I understand, because he passed on the street, so I don't really remember this story, but he was laughing his ass off. And I'm like, and then she was like, fuck you, bitch, because you can't have no babies as a 3-year-old. So cut two.
Oh, my God.
Now that's like when I'm 5, kindergarten. Cut two, 2007. For September 13th, first official day of high school, I met somebody who was funnier than I was in conversation.
Okay.
You know what I mean? A kid named Rodney, who's my best friend now. So it was one of those things. A girl I had a crush on named Crystal. I had said something, and she was like, Rodney said some shit. She on the floor laughing, getting closer to this nigga. And I'm like, you know what? I don't like this.
All right.
I don't like the second best shit. You know what I mean? Because I'm not going to get laid like this. I didn't have the best game. You know what I mean? Never thought I was the best looking. But I can make people laugh. I'm like, this motherfucker's killing me in my own shit. Mm-hmm. So the next day, September 14th, 2007, I'll never forget this. My teacher, Miss Richardson, she asked, does anybody have a talent? So this girl named Esther, she went up. She sung a song. She did all right. And she was like, anybody else? Something legit came to me and said, go tell some jokes. I tried it. It worked every day since then.
Every day since then.
Yep. So we recording this on what? What's today's date?
Today is the 16th.
So I've been doing stand-up for 8 years, 8 months, and 2 days.
Wow.
Yep. And I remember it to the T. So when I started in class. You know what I'm saying? So I would do it 3 days a week. So
in class, 3 days a week, like mm-hmm. with people. And then when did you take it to another level?
2008. It was right after Easter of 2008. Because my teacher was like, have you ever done an open mic night? And I was like, no, what the hell is that? She was like, well, that's where you go, you know what I'm saying, the club person to see you, and then maybe they'll book you. Because I thought you had to go to school for this. I thought Cat Williams, Martin Lawrence, I thought all my favorites went to college and then, like, right. did this. So when I found out you could just go and do it, I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I was like, you know, if I go do comedy at a comedy club and I do it right, then I'm retiring. I'm done. You know what I'm saying? So I go to the comedy club. I went to Ha, because I didn't have, I didn't have internet back then or a laptop. So I had to go to the Children's Aid Society and check out open mics in the city. So I see Stand Up New York was on Monday, and this High Comedy Club was on Tuesday. So I go to the High, dressed to kill, by the way. Like, the net worth of this outfit was $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Maury shoes, which were a $500 pair back then.
Wow. It's like the first day of school for me. I'd always dress up really nicely. You know what I mean? So you're like, okay, here I am.
Not only was I dressed nicely, but back to that old soul shit. So let me explain the whole outfit. Okay. So we'll go from the top to bottom.
Okay.
Brown Kangol hat, right? Beige Izod shirt with a with a Banana Republic Argyle over that.
What are you, Rich Voss? Okay. So you're already describing Rich Voss, but go ahead.
Banana Republic khakis. Armani socks, by the way. And a pair of $500 Maury shoes.
Wow.
So I get there, and a Hudson black leather jacket. So I get there, fly as can fucking be. Right. You know what I'm saying? I get there, I sign the list. I'm number 22. I'll never forget this. HP was hosting. So I'm the only one in the open mic enjoying myself. And ain't nobody else laughing at shit. And I'm like, oh, y'all a bunch of haters in here. Y'all don't like nothing. But I'm like, wait till I get up there. Because to this point, I ain't never bombed before. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? So it's finally my turn. I go up. And it is going bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, terrible. I wasn't used to that. Like, I could hear the lights buzzing, and I was not used to that shit. So finally, I get the light, and I'm like, okay, if all else fails, my closer has never not worked. I'm about to rip this shit down. I hit my closer, and I'll never forget this. One dude in the back said, ha!
Oh, yeah.
And I walked off and I said, it'll never be that bad again. And that's when I kept doing it. You know what I'm saying? So I was at the comedy clubs doing the open mics. Then there was a guy named Lili, who I don't know what Lili is now. Lili, if you hear this, God bless, man. But he would take me out to the hood rooms. Okay. You know what I mean?
Lili, mm-hmm. friend?
Lili Fitzgerald?
Yeah.
Long
F lesson. Yeah.
Yep, oh. Lili Fitzgerald.
He hooked me up when I got here.
Yeah, real good dude, man. Real good dude. Had a lot of energy on stage. You know what I mean?
Good dude.
And he would take me around to the hood rooms. And I didn't have a cell phone back then. So I was legit just missing shows. I didn't have a cell phone. I had an early Facebook account that I had deleted after a little while. And, you know, it was hard for people to get in contact with me because they would ask for my number. I'd get them the house phone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think it was maybe Sim that called the house to try to get me on the show. My mom picked up. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So the struggle starting out was actually pretty real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because even when I met you, and I think mm-hmm. it was 2012, so you're four years, mm-hmm. you know, it wasn't like, I mean, you were really, you might have done an MTV at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, Hip Hop Squares was hot back
right.
then. Yep.
So at some point, you know, people were taking notice of you even right. without the cell phone or the accoutrement that, you know, comes with all the, you know.
You know what happened?
It was, I remember mm-hmm. that you know, like, taking the train and, you know, scraping up.
Yeah,
what we had to scrape up.
Scraping up the spots as I could scrape them up. But what happened early is, and this is why thank God, that I'm able to make money at it now is because I learned how to hustle quick. You know what I'm saying? I knew that the spots in the hood paid $50 before I knew anything else. You know what I mean? And I knew that all you really had to do was body a 5-minute set they'll have you back for 10 minutes. Now, what I didn't do was only do one circuit. That's what a lot of people would fall into. They figure out, oh, shit, I get a couple dollars, so I'm going to go here. Nah. I was like, I can get up early in the day right after school here, and then because I don't want to fall asleep, I'll go over to Mocha's or I'll go to the Creole Lounge. You know what I'm saying? And the next big thing that happened for me was my second show, my second official show. First one was at Broadway Comedy Club.
The first show you did was at our home club, yep, Broadway Comedy Club.
My first official show was a Joanna Brawley production for the Laugh Tracks.
Okay.
And I was... who had just died? Like Bernie Mac had just passed away. Oh, wow. This is after a year of just doing straight open mics and maybe one hood room. No, straight open mics. So I get there, I get to Broadway again, dressed to kill. You know what I'm saying? Looking like a pastor in a velvet black vest. I don't remember how the set went because of, well, I don't know if I'm not even going to tell that part of the story.
Okay.
But I can't remember how the set went because. And I go up, it went well. That much I remember. But after that, I did a show at the spot called the Creole Lounge in Harlem. Mm-hmm. My family came out, maybe 8 people came to see me specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And the show went well. There was a comedian there named Dawn Boatman. And she was telling me about this club called Laugh Lounge. And I never heard of Laugh Lounge. She was like, you should come down to Laugh Lounge.
Because, which is no longer, by the way.
Which is no longer. Right, okay. And I missed that place.
Yeah, it was a cool place.
I missed that place every day.
Lower East Side, Manhattan.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Laugh Lounge was a hub for a lot of comedians that are on TV right now, as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Especially the black ones. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Damian Lemon. I remember when him and Vladimir Camaño had a show there called Comedy on the Hump. Legit, maybe 7 people would be in that shit. It was just working it out.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I say that to say this. So Don B was like, yeah, because Ashy Larry has a show there on Mondays. Now, I ain't have cable. So, I ain't never watched Chappelle's show up until like 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I didn't know who Ashy Larry was. So I get to the Laugh Lounge. I do the open mic first. 8 o'clock rolls by. I see a little bald head dude sitting at the bar. And I recognized him as Donnell Rawlins because I would, like, at lunch in school, I would watch Bad Boys of Comedy on YouTube. So I went up and was like, hey, man, I'm a big fan. You know what I'm saying? You're Donnell Rawlins, right? He's like, yeah. So cut to, the show starts. They need somebody to go first. He comes to me. He's like, yo, I'm going to put you on first. I was like, nah, I don't usually go first. Because at that time, I only done 2 shows. And each time I did, they asked me, when do you want to go on?
Right.
So that's what I was used to.
Sure.
Hilarious.
So I was like, well, usually I go second. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I don't usually go first.
Uh-huh.
That nigga looked at me and said, one of the things that stuck with me that helped a lot. He was like, you don't want to go first. I mean, coldest stare ever. You don't want to go first? All right. Holler at me when you're ready to be a comedian. Turned and walked away. So I was crushed. I'm sitting there like.
Right. Yeah. That's like this. Yeah.
So in my head, I'm going, because you try to make yourself right, even though you dead wrong. So in my head, I'm like, man, fuck him. He max. He ain't got no hair. You know what I'm saying? And he's short. But the way fate would have it, there was nobody else to go first. And he was like, damn, I can't find nobody to go first. And Don's like, nah, Nico going first. The nigga say he won't go first. I was like, no, I'll go first.
Okay.
I went up. It went all right. I ain't crushed. But God bless him. He let me come back every other week. You know what I'm saying? And that space did a lot for me. You know what I'm saying?
So that really started the ball rolling.
100%. Because his show, him being who he was and who he is.
Yeah.
It brought a lot of vets out. You know what I mean? And that's one thing I can definitely say. The veteran comedians were always nice. Guys like Donnell, Mike Yard, Rich Voss, fucking everybody. Everybody was nice. The Vic Henleys. And even some people that I'd heard would be mean. You know what I'm saying? Were all really good people. And it was from watching people like that, like on the urban side. When you go into a room like El Ugly or HBX Studios, and you got 600 people, and you got a guy like Toure owning these motherfuckers, but he's not, like, running across the stage. He's standing in one spot just telling jokes. It was from watching that that I learned, okay, I don't have to change this shit that I talk about.
Right.
You know what I mean? I don't got to not talk about politics because I'm in front of all black people. I don't have to talk about politics. I'm in front of all white people. I can do whatever I want. And Donnell told me one time, he's like, don't change what you do. Because you got to make it work in front of these people. You got to make it work in front of these people. He said the whack comics is a comic that would, like, nigga it up. You know what I'm saying? Or whatever you call that on the white side. And I don't know what you call. What's a... Jew it up?
Jew it up. Like probably that. Jew it up would be good. Yeah. They're Jewing up the show.
So
chewing up the show would be every night in comedy.
You know what I mean? So I don't know what the equivalent of that would be, but you know, thankfully it all worked out, and I had a great class of comedians to come up with.
Well, I want
to
ask you: did you like? Were there specific comics that you not because you have your own like the what I love about you is the mm-hmm. social commentary, and that you're not afraid to. You know, have silences, when you're getting to your point. And mm-hmm. the point doesn't necessarily, I mean, the great thing about comedy, and I mean, obviously you want to make people laugh, but in mm-hmm. your case, I think you want to inform, mm-hmm. you know, which I love that. Mm-hmm. There's all types of comedy.
Right.
Who were your influences?
My biggest influences are Chris Rock, Cat Williams, Dave Chappelle. My biggest influences. And Martin Lawrence, too. You know what I'm saying? Martin Lawrence was, I saw a run tell that the day before I started. So I saw that on September 13th, and that gave me, you know, some inspiration. And my earliest memory of stand-up, I was 3 years old, and Martin's You So Crazy, it just came out. And my pops was watching it. Now, I didn't understand shit Martin was saying, but I knew my dad liked it a lot. You know what I mean? There was one joke he did about how white people brought us over from Africa when we were in Africa chilling. And the act out that he did, I love that shit.
Right.
So, you know, those are my influences. And then, you know, after starting on the scene, guys like Donnell, Mike Britt, Mike Yard, Don B.
All fabulous comics. You know what I'm saying? Really strong comics.
Guys that I used to see on the everyday level just smashing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Where you sitting in the back like, you know, I thought I liked this 5 minutes that I'm doing. And he's up there for 20. Okay, I'm going to go and throw my notebook away now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's talk about your comedy a little bit. Because
I wonder about one thing, because you're so young, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Every time I see a young person, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, what the fuck are you going to tell me that I don't already know?
Right.
So did you ever have that as a challenge? Like,
oh, I had more of that from comedians, you know what I'm saying? That different audience members. Nah, because I've never not believed what I said, you know what I mean? There was never any hesitation about me telling you what I believed. So when I say shit on stage, 90% of the time, I mean it. You know what I'm saying? So because I was always into politics, when I spoke about politics, I knew what I was talking about. You know what I'm saying? That was the breakfast table conversation at the house. When I told you things about me, that's the stuff that I've been through. Like, for example, they told me early on, that's why if you see in my act, because it's just something to say with me, it was like, you know, don't talk about sex. I started having sex when I was 14. You know what I'm saying? But it was like, nobody's going to believe you. You're just not that type. You know what I mean? No one's going to believe you. But so in my mind, I'm like, oh, wait, no, y'all just a bunch of losers. That's all that is. You know what I'm saying? We didn't live the same life. But so many people had said it that it stuck with me. You know what I mean? I'll never forget. I was a stand-up New Yorker, as a matter of fact. And Sam Fortenbaugh, God bless him, he came in and he was like, you know, no one's going to want to hear about a 15-year-old's sex life. I'm like, this is what's really
Well,
that's
your
on.
Life.
I'm kind of interested in this.
Right. But the crazy thing, it's crazy the things that will affect you.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Because they got me in there. They got
the
me
beginning
that,
and...
They got me into that so early that I was like, okay, well, fine. And that made me talk about, like, the little relationships that I did have. You know what I'm saying? Instead of talking about the sexual part of relationships,
you sculpted it a different way.
Right. Talk about the things I didn't like about being in a relationship. How to, like, when you go and meet a girl's parents, you know what I'm saying? How you have to act like their daughter's a lot purer than what she really is because her dad is like, oh, my little angel's like, yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, we was in the theater together, your little angel.
Well, I like that, you know, you do talk about, obviously, social issues in your act, and you talk, and it's available online for people to listen to, so I hope I'm not giving things away, but you talk about how, like, as an early age, you knew about the Miranda rights.
Oh, yeah.
Before, you know, you knew, I don't know what the joke before you knew.
I knew I had the right to remain silent before I believed I could fly.
Yeah, exactly. Right. It's those types of things as a kid. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talk about is, like, you don't want to become a hashtag, right? I think that's, I was thinking about it before the show, like Nico talking about, like, you know, what the joke is, you don't want to be, I love the joke.
There was a 6-month period where the cops were killing black people who had regular first names and colors as last names. Michael Brown, Freddie Gray.
Yeah.
So Nico White was scared to death because I felt like I was next and I didn't want to be, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's actually true. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Somebody brought it up to me. It was like, damn, ain't it weird that it's all colors? Your last name is white. I was like, Exactly. Oh shit! Right. My last name is White. Thank you, buddy. And that's how it started.
Right. It's a sad but great joke. Right.
Sad truth. You know what?
Right.
Everything, like some of my favorite stuff that I've done on the social commentary side, because I like to think I do a mix of social commentary and personal analysis.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the stuff that I do that is social commentary, my best stuff has come from legit tragedies. The only tragedies I won't touch is the death of children. Like, I'll never touch the Sandy Hook thing because I don't think there's any way to make that hilarious. You know what I mean? But the mass shootings that happened in Colorado,
right.
That kid in Santa Monica, I think, that killed his classmates because he wasn't getting laid.
Yeah.
Oh, those two are my best bits. You know what I mean? Like, right. it's sometimes when certain things happen, you go, this is going to be terrible, but it could be gold. And when other things happen, you're just like, this is fucking sad. You know what I mean?
Right.
Did you have a shitty job? Did you?
I've never worked a day in my life. I don't know what. I've never been to college besides to perform there. You know what I'm saying? You are a complete stand-up comedian.
You're living your dream. You're very lucky. People don't even know what they're good at until they're already secure at their shitty career. And then they're like, you know, I can paint or, you know, I can sing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's blessing.
You know what it was? For that anyway, that came from watching my brother go to school for so long. You know what I mean? My brother wanted to be an anesthesiologist. He went to the Navy. You know what I'm saying? The GI Bill didn't pay for his schooling. But I'm like, to go to school for that long and not be in your field is crazy to me. So I never had any inkling to go to college. And the crazy thing is I wanted to be a history teacher. If I didn't do stand-up, I would be a history teacher.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. So when I found out that I could do this and I didn't have to go to school to do this, I was like, why do anything else? So the way I looked at it was, all right, right before I was going to leave high school, I told my parents I didn't want to go to college. And I was like, you know, give me a year. You know what I mean? Because I don't like debt. Nothing scares me more than debt. I like having money. I don't mind having zero and then having to build back up. But I don't like being in the negative. That's the worst shit ever to me. I don't know how people could.
Yeah, I'm looking at it like, yeah.
I like
that. No, I don't like it. But
I don't know how people could live
myself
like
out of
that.
It.
You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
It's horrible.
Like paying off student loans until you're 65.
Absolutely.
No, it's crazy.
I'm good. And then when I heard what could happen to you if you default on those loans.
Oh, it could be years of dealing with it.
And they'll shatter
it, right.
your credit.
Yeah, of course.
I'd rather have none than bad. I'm sorry. Okay. So when I started, I've been paying bills since I was like a kid. You know what I'm saying?
Helping out with the family.
Yeah, 100%.
And this is family values, right? This was instilled in you to do these things. You didn't just, you know.
No, I didn't just like up and do them. But my pops told me three things. My pops said, you know, this is what a man is. A man provides. A man keeps his word. And a man doesn't fucking fear another man. Those are the three principles that I have. So that's why, if you notice, I'm very big on respect. Like, I'll tell somebody, don't talk to me like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Don't treat me like that. And don't call me a liar or a thief.
I guess I'm a man.
Or don't call me a liar or a thief.
Yeah, right,
you know
right, right.
Those are things that I was always taught are very low. And when my mom and my pops broke up, my pops told me, you know, take care of your mother. You know what I'm saying? You're the man of the house. Take care of your mother. So that's my top priority. That's why I tell people all the time when I do shows and I'm like, all right, so what's the rate? Oh, well, you know, we don't pay. All right, I can't do it. Because I got a priority. You know what I'm saying? Because if these jokes aren't told, these bills aren't paid, moms don't eat. And I'm not having that. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So it's about how you hustle. Like, one of the things that irks me the most is, on the scene anyway, is the lack of payment or the how did I articulate this the right way? The activity of not paying comedians. You know what I'm saying? Like, dudes that have a show and they'll hit you up. Hey, come do my show, man. When is it? Saturday. All right, cool. Where's that? At this bar. All right. So I'll be there. What's the rate? Oh, the show doesn't pay. Why? Because we do it we let people in for free. Why would you do that? Charge $2. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm not going to charge you the regular club rate. I am going to charge you this kind of one because you're a comic. You know what I'm saying? So instead of charging you $75, I'll do it for $50. You know what I mean? But if you having a show at a weekend, on a weekend, in a nice place that has a separate room, you mean to tell me you can't...
Well, that's just being stupid.
You can't take... Right, but that's what I'm saying. Well, you can't take the extra initiative, get a $2
ticket, but
get a $3 ticket,
right.
Pass a bucket.
Yeah. You understand that the industry and the nature of all the shows and how, you know, there's like, it's... it's flooded with mm-hmm. so many different shows and places that right. a lot of people have the mindset. And this is not mm-hmm. to say good or bad. They
right,
have
of
the
course.
Mindset that mm-hmm. if they want to get bodies in seats and to have a show at all, that they're doing that. I mean, I'm guilty of that myself. I'm not proud mm-hmm. of it.
Right.
I'm guilty, let me. I just want to have a show. I want uh-huh. the comedians to get up.
Mm-hmm.
And but that is, in essence, perpetuating the problem that you just illustrated.
Right. But
it perpetuates that if you don't charge it, you demean the whole product.
But now, but no, not even that, because there's ways to take care of your comics without all that. So if you work a job, and you mean to tell me as a person, I've never worked the quote unquote job, right?
Right.
However, any show I've ever done where it's my name on it and I'm booking comedians, they've all got paid every time. You know what I'm saying? Even if that has to come out of my budget that I'm making off the show at
yeah.
the end, they all got paid. There's never been one time where anybody on my show who wasn't a guest spot. No, even my guest spots. They get paid.
All right.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, if you work a job, like my boy hit me up and he wanted me to do a show for a festival that he's starting. You know what I mean? And I was like, all right. So he wanted a half hour. I gave him my price for a half hour. You know what I'm saying? At a non-comedy club on a weekday, which is in the hundreds. You know what I'm saying? It's not crazy. It's like maybe, I ain't going to tell you my price, but
okay,
120. You know what I mean?
Okay. But that's not crazy.
He was like, yo, he wanted me to do a half hour for $50. No, that's $10 in the hood rooms. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, and I'll do you a favor, but it's not going to be 50 for 30. That's insane.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's crazy.
You're setting a standard for yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, and you're speaking up for yourself.
And you've been doing it for 8 years already and just right. doing that. That's just, look, I don't think any, I can't be like, oh, I want $100 for this, like, the next half hour, because I haven't,
right.
you know, I don't feel like mm-hmm. it's worth yet
$100. But you know the beauty in that is you're self-aware enough to say that. You know what I'm saying? I think the problem is you have talented people that are either not self-aware enough to know that they should charge. You know what I'm saying?
Well, some people.
And people who aren't talented. On the opposite end, you have people who aren't as good yet that are charging.
Okay, so let's talk about the mental health then of
okay.
the comic, because mm-hmm. clearly you have values and a standard, mm-hmm. and your parents still together?
Oh, no, they ain't been together for ages now.
Ages.
Yeah, I'm 23, so they were done when I was 8.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But how was the, were they still close? Or
yeah, no, okay. my mom's tell you in a second, my pops is a good dad. You know what I mean? I don't know what it's like to not have a two-parent household, per se.
Okay.
It, like, if I did some shit wrong, and trust me, I had my little time, you know what I'm saying, where if she called pops, oh, nigga, I was running in the back. You know what I'm saying? I ain't afraid of no man except Barry White, my brother, and Michael C. White, my pops. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And, again, you know what I mean? My dad is one of those guys where he doesn't talk a lot. You know what I'm saying? But he cares a lot. Real big-hearted dude. You
right.
know what I'm saying? He'll give you the shirt off his back if you get him at the right time. You know what I'm saying? So the dynamic between the two of them was I never heard my mom's never disrespecting my pops in front of me. You know what I'm saying? Now, she'll call him a liar every now and again, but she never disrespected him in front of me. Never called him anything less than a man. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, she'll see like younger women now with their boyfriends and shit like that, and go, in my day, that, like, men were men. You know what I'm saying? My mom's has only really been with my pops. They've right. been together since the time they were 14. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. Sure.
So from 14 to when they separated, if I was 8, they was like 40. You know what I mean? Right. So from 14 to 40, and then they still have a really good relationship.
Well, that's what I mean. See, a lot of comics, mm-hmm. We all come from varying degrees of. I mean, this could be in life. It's
yeah,
not
yeah.
even dysfunctionality, mm-hmm. which is again no excuse, because at a certain point, mm-hmm. you got to own your stuff. You have
absolutely
to, right. But I think a lot of that negligence in taking care of ourselves, whether mm-hmm. it's comics or otherwise, is because we simply weren't taught. Like, some
right.
people aren't taught that they can, you know, stick up for themselves, demand mm-hmm. more, you know. And again, like, I'll speak from my own experience. I am guilty of that. You know,
right.
I want to make those changes even now.
Right.
You know, but Ricky, you're one to, like, Ricky's like, I remember, like, how much am I getting paid? What's this?
I don't do 15 minutes. I would never not charge. There's
right.
no way.
Right.
For me,
I remember,
15, that's
I remember somebody hit me up and was like, yo, I got a 15-minute guest spot. I was like, guest spots aren't 15
yeah,
minutes.
Exactly. Thank you.
Like, right, wait, exactly. They're 5 minutes.
That's work. You're working for 15 minutes.
Yep.
8 minute spots. Okay, I'm gonna do whatever fuck. I'll try some new shit. Mm-hmm. You know.
All right, but this is. But the thing I'm gonna say is, I do think there is a learning curve in comedy.
Yes.
Right? Like, I don't think you should get paid off the bat.
No, absolutely.
Some
of course
dude
not.
Coming in, I'm gonna do 10 minutes and see, expect any type of payment. But there are people that think that way.
I had an argument with a friend of mine because I was like, you know, you should pay comedians. And he was like, yo, see, that's the problem. People come in and they just expect to get paid. I'm like, no, stupid. I'm not just saying pay somebody who's fresh off the street. But what I am saying is that, let's say at a show where, you know, the kids bark. You know what I'm saying? Like right. the young comics between like years 1 and 3, they bark. So if they barking in a show, right, if you're not going to pay them, give them $5. You know what I'm saying? If nothing else, so they could go across the street and at least grab a fucking couple slices of
definitely
dollar
definitely not
pizza.
A drink ticket.
Not a drink ticket.
That shit
right.
pisses me off.
Get them something. Give them something where they could at least go buy something to eat. Or if you're not going to do that, buy a pizza pot. You know what I mean? And just bring it to them.
Yeah.
And let them have that. Because
show some form of gratitude.
I don't know. Maybe the scene has changed. You know what I'm saying? But I know when we were out there like that, and the lineups were beautiful. Like me, Derek Gaines, Monroe, Matt Pavich. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When we were all down at the fucking Lantern, we made a couple of dollars. We passed the bucket. People don't even do that anymore.
No, we do it. We did it last night. At the
you did it?
Grizzly.
Did you do it at the Grizzly?
At the Grizzly.
But
at the
I
Grizzly
didn't
pair.
See anyone, but it was whatever.
At the Grizzly pair, I used to MC there. I MC at the Grizzly pair every Monday for like 2 years. So it was me and Sean Mallory, and it was me and Adam Chisholm. Now, I could never bark. I was never good at that. But they would get in the show. I would MC, and then we'd split the bucket 40-60. I get 40%. They get 60. You know what I'm saying? And I would leave every week with legit like $20. Now that don't seem like a lot, but for me back then, especially because right. I had my bus pass,
right?
That was my train money.
Train money, get a dollar slice of pizza money, whatever it is.
Get some wings.
Yeah, but I,
get some wings at the cellar. Talk some shit out. About how we gonna yeah. change the world and all that. But it's not even any of that anymore. You know what I'm saying? Motherfuckers are fighting each other now, which is crazy to me.
Well, let's talk about fighting a mm-hmm. little bit, like social media and Facebook mm-hmm. and how right. that has entered the realm of the, because like I, you know, even Ricky and I, we were guilty of having Facebook
wars.
People
think I'm having like the best time in LA and I just feel like I'm really good at Facebook.
Right. 100%.
Well, yeah, it's a total falsehood, you mm-hmm. know? Yeah, I'm having a great time too. So great.
Love.
Can't even tell you how great it is. but let's talk about Facebook and let's talk about relationships because those are things that are, you know,
so what you want
relevant.
To do first, Facebook or relationships?
Let's do Facebook first with, like, I see these comic beefs, you know, we were guilty of when there were these lingerie shows or these naked yeah. shows, we were talking about them mm-hmm. and then Ricky was like, you know, I don't think you should be naked and in turn, like, there was whatever. A whole thing about
became a thing.
Thing and then I ended up doing a lingerie show and mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, I don't even need to do that, you
yeah.
know, but I, you know, you wanna, it's a learning experience, but the Facebook wars, I guess.
Here's what's my thing with the Facebook wars. It's so dumb.
Isn't it?
You know what I mean? It's dumb. It's time constraining. Here's my thing. Me and you can disagree on a lot of things. That don't mean I lose respect for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I feel like that's where it becomes disgusting. Especially like as a younger person watching all these fucking grown ass adolescents. You niggas are disappointing yeah. to me. You know what I'm saying? Because how many of you grown people can really just go and behead somebody else? And it's a gang mentality. It's not a, oh, I'm going to listen to your point and you listen to my point and we'll agree or disagree or agree to disagree. It's I'm right because I said so. And what Facebook's created is everybody has their own kingdom per se. So if I yes. say something on my status and I get 100 likes and 40 comments and then you come in and you disagree with me, they will beat you to death in those comments or the person will just block you. You know what I'm saying? Because you're not a part of their thinking. That's not being better than somebody. That's not being smarter than somebody. All that means is you've hidden everything else except you and the people that agree with you. And that's a problem. You know what I'm saying? If motherfuckers did that in government, there's a reason why Hitler rose to be as high as he was. Because mm-hmm. he only kept certain people around him. And those are the people that felt how he felt and the people that agreed with him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And the people that didn't, he got rid of and tossed in ovens. Correct, Ricky?
That's correct.
See what I'm saying?
Well, I'm Jewish too.
You Jewish too?
Yeah.
Right.
But I study. But hey, yeah. You know what? This is
yeah.
off topic completely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's okay.
I have a question.
Go
just
for it.
We are yeah. talking to young comics.
Yeah.
So I grew up in Israel, and mm-hmm. in Israel, we mm-hmm. don't learn about slavery at right. all. We learn about the Holocaust. As far as I was concerned, the Jews were the only people that got
persecuted. Oh, I do a joke about that now where I say it's hard because, and I had this argument 2 weeks ago. It's hard to like talk about your struggle with your Jewish friends because you motherfuckers think y'all are the king of struggle. Like y'all played a Holocaust.
But it's more like it's not the American Jews. It's the Israeli. We don't like my friends say the N word. I'm like, dude, you can't say that. Why? I'm like, what do you mean why? And I had to fucking Wikipedia slavery like 5 years ago.
Because you weren't even taught that.
I had no idea. I'm like, really?
But you know what I wish? I wish we weren't taught that. I wish we weren't taught that.
Really?
Yeah, because it sets up a bad precedent almost. Because we keep telling ourselves, like, because we know, like, certain parts of history. Black people understand that we were kings and queens. You know what I'm saying? We know that. Mm-hmm. But we always like, yeah, we were kings and queens. Cotton picking. No, but what about the part when we were kings and queens? Cotton picking. It's like, we get it. We picked cotton. We were slaves. Mm-hmm. We got that. We understand. Now, can you tell us about how when we were kings and queens, to build up our self-esteem even a little bit?
Yeah.
But see, that's another podcast. We could do episode 2.
Well, we could definitely do episode 2 because, I mean, the problem is... Because
like, I have nothing but time, by the
way. Isn't it amazing how all of history, as we know it, is not even accurate one bit? Like, all the stuff, like, you know, how America was discovered.
They let you have your history, which is
like, I was in a day where there were encyclopedias. Now,
it's a meme-educated society. Right. You ever see the meme? You ever see somebody put the wrong face to the wrong quote?
Oh, yeah.
That shit is so... Oh, my God. They had a picture of Bruce Lee. This shit got 129,000 fucking reshares on Facebook.
Okay.
And it was Bruce Lee, and the quote was, "I don't know karate, but I know crazy." That's James Brown, okay? Fucking moron.
Yeah, I mean, we are easily influenced, by the social, is why the rise to me personally of Donald Trump.
Yeah, it's the digital burning of books, basically. It's the digital burning. Books won't exist.
I think, we still read books. Still read books.
You'll still read books. Yeah. You'll still read books. When the last time you seen your little cousin pick up a book that wasn't forced into their hand?
Oh, well.
Exactly. When the last time they had to write something? Handwriting is dead.
Oh, yeah, handwriting is dead.
They know cursive is dead. If you want your kids to be superior, teach them how to write in cursive, because it's going to be cold sooner or later.
Yeah.
Teach them how to fucking, teach them how to have good writing skills as far as handwriting.
This shit's fucking, you remember how finger would hurt?
Yeah, because you wrote so much. Yeah. Let me tell my nephew, yo, man, go write a 3-page essay. That motherfucker would cry. Chalk isn't even a thing anymore.
Oh, you know what it is? And I remember talking to this teenager. She's like, I'm going to email my teacher. I'm not going to do them. I'm like,
how disgusting is that?
Emailing teachers. I'm like, texting teachers.
You know how weird that would be for me? Like, that's like, I feel that's more fucking
crazy.
Intimate than sending a dick pic. I'm an email, not a teacher. Excuse me? Why are we this close, Ms. Johnson?
Crazy. Yeah. When she's I'm like, are you
there's no boundary.
Kidding me right
there's
now?
No boundaries. There's no boundaries.
There's no boundaries. But
and no respect.
No respect. So to jump back to Facebook, the thing that gets me with the comics is like, yo, we're comedians. Like some of my friends who here's how the levels go, right? You have people from the people that I started with. You have people that moved up, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're doing good, or just doing spots or on the road, whatever have you. Then you got the people that are doing great. You got people under that. And then you got some friends of mine that, like, they'll host open mics and stuff like that. Here's what needs to stop from comics anyway. And we need to understand we are each other. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
At the end of the day, stop complaining so much about what the kids are doing at the open mics. That's what the fuck they supposed to do. A friend of mine who I love dearly, she was on Facebook, and me and her had a disagreement on this, but she was like, it was two posts that I seen back to back. And I don't usually comment on shit, but this pissed me off. Because she was like, here's the rundown of the type of jokes I heard at the mic today. 2 rape jokes, 4 racist jokes, 3 jokes like this, 4 jokes like that. And I'm like, first of all, where else are they supposed to do these jokes?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just deliver the justice of comedy.
Right.
No, not even what's there. Just don't laugh. Just don't laugh.
If you don't laugh,
that's a lot better medicine than saying on Facebook what not to do. So I said, well, did you go up to the kid and tell him, you know, did you kick some game to him? Did you tell him, you know, maybe you shouldn't do this because of this? No. So then what are you complaining about?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't get to go, damn, that fire over there was crazy, when I didn't do anything to try to put it out. You know what I mean? So if you ain't going to go up to somebody to try to help them, then why try to bash them where they can't see it?
Because it's the pussy way to handle things these days.
But see, I don't know if that was the intention to where I just think...
saying.
I just think the intention was, you know, look at how this person's doing. That's what they're supposed to do that.
Okay.
That's where those jokes are supposed to grow and die.
To that end. And then I want to get to dating because we're getting low on time. And of course, I always like to
let's
end
do
with,
two episodes.
Okay.
Yeah, we need another. We need another.
Let me just ask you. Oh, I just lost my train of thought.
Relationships.
No. Well, first, do you write every day?
I write every day. But see what happens now is that I don't have to put it on paper every day.
Okay, it could be a mental note.
It could be in the mental note.
Do you talk into a thing and say,
oh, no, I got, if I'm a writer, I got to put it on paper.
Okay, fine.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like sex. It's the intimate relationship between a pen and a pad. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? To write on, even my schedule, I keep a day planner. And
me
it's
too,
not on my
too.
Phone.
That shit is the best. You look at it, all
right.
It's right there.
You look at it. I go back for years. I remember when I got my
colors
first one.
Colors and all this stuff.
Yep.
I love it.
Right.
You get to calculate how much you did, count up your shows. If you
yeah,
like me,
yeah.
you know how many
I
shows you do in a year.
That's
yeah,
great.
It's great.
How many shows you did?
Greater than 500.
There nice. You go. Yeah, yeah. You do a lot of shows. All right.
85%.
You're killing. He's amazing.
One of the things you talked about on mm-hmm. Facebook, and this relates to a joke that you did about an ex-girlfriend, and I love that joke, and it still crushes,
mm-hmm.
is that this girl broke your heart. She dated your, like, now I'm like Oprah. Uh-huh. This girl broke your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever.
And the joke, I say she dated my best friend, which is a lie. She just dated some other dude, but
okay,
it
but
plays
a best friend
the
is
per,
right. Yeah. Right. So, and then
They had a kid.
It gets better. Right.
Yep, it gets better because he a deadbeat dad, and now she posts all her struggle statuses on Facebook, and I get to like every last one of them.
Right,
and that
it's horrible and hilarious at the same time.
It's horrible, but you know
hilarious
what? And she called me
recently.
Yeah, not
wow.
too long ago.
Oh, okay.
Because she had called me twice in the last 2 years because she had heard the joke. You know what I'm
oh,
saying?
Oh, she did.
And she was like, "So I'm some type of single wonder now?" I was like, "Yeah, bitch, you are." But after that, she called me and said, you know, she had saw the thing about the Apollo. How? I don't know. I think she saw the Time Out New York thing.
Okay.
And she was like, you know, I'm proud of you. Congratulations. Now, I'm the type of person where I'm spiteful. You know what I mean? And I was going to respond like, fuck you. And then I was like, you know what? Nah, we passed that. You did what you did. I'm fine.
Right.
Cool. You know what I mean? The hard thing about having, for me anyway, with relationships and stand-up is I'm not willing to give up any time on the stand-up side. I'm just not willing to do so.
Okay.
And that could be an immaturity thing. You know what I mean? But what happens is no woman wants to hear that. You know what I'm saying? So every relationship that I've had, and it's been about maybe six now, that I fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Where girls say, you never have any time. It's like, I have time, but you got to understand, my time is 85% stand-up.
Well, you know what? Let me stop you right there because you're not the only one. You know?
Yeah.
Every time a girl's telling me I'm dating this comedian, I'm like, look, you're the other bitch. Just
yeah,
know
yeah,
that
yeah.
100%.
You're
going to be, the stage is their main chick. You're
yep.
going to be, and that's the reality of it.
Right. But see, I feel like it's that way for me anyway because of how young I started. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure there's other people that were able to do it just fine and date decently. But with me, I'm shy anyway. You know what I'm saying? So this is my thing.
This is your focus, period.
My main focus, period.
Right.
And because it involves so many other parts of my life, like I don't work per se.
Right.
So comedy involves my home life because that's how I pay for the house. You know what I mean? Comedy involves my food. That's how I pay for the food. So everything that you have to pay for, comedy is already around that. So all the thoughts that you would usually put between your job and feeding like your family, mm-hmm. I put within my passion and feeding my family. So then what you would put towards your job, making money to relationships, that part that would usually go in relationships is going into just living life, whatever that is, like walking through the park and people watching and shit like
right.
that.
Right. And ultimately, if you mm-hmm. do well and succeed and you are already on that path, which is like a wrote comic on the rise, because you've really, mm-hmm. you've been steadily climbing. Like mm-hmm. you really are, you know, we have an expression, trudging the road, not even trudging, mm-hmm. but trudging the road
you know,
to happy destiny. That's
because
what,
he doesn't drink also, you don't mm-hmm. smoke, you're,
yeah.
you're good.
Yeah, he's
fucking, you're gonna kill it. You're not gonna die when you're
yeah.
whatever. You're
very sober
you're
way
amazing.
Of handling
yeah.
his career.
Right. You know, it's a good place to be in. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where that place is right now because we've always been in my family type people to say, you know, appreciate today for the day because tomorrow could be nighttime. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? So you never really know. Like, I know when motherfuckers used to tell me, like, oh, you too young for this, you too young for that, don't worry, you got time. I used to hate that shit because I have friends that are legit locked up or dead. You know what I'm saying? And I mean a lot of them.
Yes.
If there was a group of 25, it's five of us now. because everybody else is in jail. You got three in college. Me and my homie Sean are in the city, and I'm doing stand-up. You know what I'm saying? So that's the five of us. Now, when people tell me, oh, you have so much time, I'm like, nah, niggas die every day. You know what I'm saying? Now, of course, I don't live a life to where I feel like I'll be one. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in a good place. And I came up around a lot of good comics to help me, you know, stay focused. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think people, like, you know, when you come up with a class of comics, that makes you better. You know what I mean? Course. My class of comics was a dope class. You got me, Matt Richards, Nick Alexander, Pete Davis, and Jonah Rock, Ricky Velez, Matt Pavish, Derek Gaines, Monroe, all of those guys. So it gives you reasons to stay. Like, you gotta
focus.
Right.
Not even focus, but like when we was all broke, let me see you bomb, or let them see me bomb, and realize how long your night's gonna be. Because it's 44, like we legit used to roll in the village like 20 deep. You know what I'm saying? So if you...
Wait, what's 20 deep?
20 guys.
20 guys deep. You remember, there was one night of stand-up New York. Me, Derek Monroe, Dave Temple was in there. And you know how they are.
Yeah.
If they get a reason to start snapping on you, that shit is going to go on.
Yeah.
Ricky was like... Ricky walked up to Derek like, you know, I hate seeing you. And just walked off. But that was the type of... It was a dog-eat-dog. And if you made one mistake, whether that be your clothes, whether that be you bombing on stage, Derek did this thing where he used to beatbox. And we know... we knew that joke worked.
Right, right.
You know
what I'm saying?
We knew that joke worked. So we like, stop closing on that joke. So I took a piece of paper and black magic marker, and I put it on, like, the wall of the lantern. I said, if Derek Gaines starts to beatbox, give him the light immediately. And it was stuff like that that kept you honest. You know what I'm saying? But it also made you work harder, because if you like me, you go, I am not going to be the weakest link on this show. Bullshit.
That's right. Well, you know
what I mean?
That's amazing.
Like, during my comeuppance, if you will, like, we had, like I said, I mentioned Rich Voss before, and Patrice O'Neill, and Jay Moore, and Dane Cook, and those were the people, you know. Who else? Jim Norton.
All the guys on Comedy Central, Sirius XM.
Bill,
and everything else, right?
Bill Burr.
Yeah.
And so, like, this, you know, and that's, you know, 15, 20 years ago as that evolves, and then you guys will, you know, and then and it just keeps,
It keeps going. I just wish, I don't know, maybe it's because I don't get to really play with the newer comics, but it's one of those things where you almost wish they were as gelled with each other. Like, there's definitely comics in my class, the 8 to 10 year range right now, that didn't like each other. However, even if I don't like you, I'm happy to see you.
Yeah, yeah.
I ain't going to actively try to make anything bad happen to you. Whereas now, you'll see motherfuckers going full Facebook crusades. Like, they'll start an event to fuck up your show. You know what I mean? Like, hey, get this person off the Gotham Comedy Live show. The event is at 3:30. You see 40 people going and 3 people interested. You know what I'm saying? We all in this together. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're blind, deaf, or crazy. If you're really a stand-up comedian, we're all in this together. Stop fighting each other. It's hard enough.
Life in general. We have a few minutes. So what are the, you do a lot. What are the main, like, what were the highlights so far? Because obviously there's quite a few, but what stands out to you?
My highlights so far are completely metaphorical. So, and some don't even have anything to do with me.
Why am I not surprised?
I hope they're my metaphors.
So the first one was when Donnell Rollins finally got my name right, when he brought me to the stage.
Okay.
That made me go, okay, maybe I'm funny now. Because he, for the longest time, the motherfucker would bring me up to the stage as Nicoy White. And that shit would piss me off. But after about 4 months, he finally got it right. You know what I'm saying? After that, getting past the stand-up New York, because when I first went there and I had this stage name that was terrible. Fuck it, I'll tell you.
What was it?
My stage name back then. The Junior King of Comedy, Nico White.
Why?
I love the Kings of Comedy, man.
The Junior King?
Hilarious. I just love the Kings of Comedy.
I already like Young Veteran. I think you just bring him up as a young veteran. It's so great until you're an old veteran. You're just a veteran.
So Greg told me, I was like, you know, how long do you think I get past here? Because he saw me at the open mics. He was like, I'll say maybe 7 years. And I was 15 then. And I got past stand-up New York at 17. So that was great.
Wow.
You did it Caroline's recently?
Did we were getting that. Caroline. That's coming up later. I'm going to take up more than your time. I ain't going to lie to you.
All right.
So it was that. Then The Little Rascals of Comedy. You know what I'm saying? That gave me, if you don't know what I'm talking about, this guy named JP Justice put together a lineup of the young working comics then. So it was me, Nick Alexander, Pete, Jordan and me, Nick, Pete, Matt Richards, fucking Shantae Wayans, and Chael Williams. And that really gave me insight as far as, you know, there's others. You know right. what I mean? There's other people like you out here that's working hard, that's grinding. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a pretty good close circuit of friends that stayed friends. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
After that, introducing me when I shot my special. I shot an independent back in New York Comedy Club in 2014. Or, no, 2015. August 15, 2015. Sold out show. Got 2 standing ovations and Nico White chant at the end, which was amazing to me.
Sweet.
After that, the Caroline Stink, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we sold out on the books and we did like 2 something in the room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great.
Everybody crushed. They got to see Phil Hunt do his thing. If you don't know Phil Hunt, yeah. Phil Hunt's a little short, stumpy dude who's vastly underrated. You know what I'm saying? So to see him right. kill, to see Amina Amani crush, you know what I'm saying? Had Nick Alexander host, that was great. Apollo, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
Doing the Apollo back in March of 2010. That was amazing. It got me laid a couple times, that marquee. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Girls
from middle school.
I need to do
me
the
up.
Apollo.
Yo,
is it possible?
You know how you hear the stories? Because I don't get that reaction a lot. But they say, you know, with some success comes vagina. And that I posted that Apollo
That's
marquee.
That's the Apollo.
Yo. I had this girl from a long time ago. Yeah, you know, we went to school together back in the day, blah, blah, blah. And
which
I was
is like, what, 5 years ago?
All right, still.
Like 10. Okay. And I was like, word. She said, come up for dinner. Word. And then right. it went down. So that was dope. Went into March Madness. And then most recently. Okay, so there's 2. This one that has nothing to do with me, per se. But, watching Pete film his special for Comedy Central was fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's great.
Pete Davidson?
Yeah.
I just watched it in LA.
Yo, because
he's your age, right?
He's my age. You know what I'm saying? We're good friends. But the thing that got me the most when he came to me, when he came back into the green room, it was me, him, Ricky, Jordan, Reg. We would only stand-ups in the room, right? So I came to watch the show. But to know that he had just sold out 2 shows at the Skirball, I remember back in 2012, he thought he was going to L.A. So we did a going away show. And that was the lineup. It was me, him, fucking Ricky, and Jordan. And he probably promoted that show for a month. He maybe got 25 people there. And that's in 2011, 2012. Oh. 4 years later,
yeah.
This nigga just did 2 sold out shows at the fucking Skirball for an hour in Comedy Central.
Right.
That's beautiful. You
and
know
that
what
just,
I mean?
Yeah,
he's
that,
amazing. I just, love yeah. him. Yeah. I watch his hour twice. I have to see him.
Yep. So to see that and to see somebody your age that you were close to, it's like, bravo. You know
Anything
what I'm saying?
Anything is possible.
Because then you know it can happen.
Anything
you
know is possible.
Yeah. And last thing that's been great, doing the Red Light Redux podcast.
I'm going to save that as a soundbite.
I'm surprised he's only doing it now.
Thank you so much. I know.
No, thank y'all.
Thank you. Nico, where can people find you?
If you want to find me, you can find me at NicoWhite.com. That is NekoWhite.com. If you're on Instagram, it's NicoWhite93, NekoWhite93. And you can also find me by my hashtag, which is hashtag Long Live The Kang. That's LongLiveTheKang.
Wonderful. Ricky Sofer.
Ricky Sofer. I'm on Instagram. Ricky Sofer. Ricky Sofer, very unoriginal.
All right. Well, welcome back. Glad to have you back, Ricky. Great to have you, Nico.
It was great to
next
be
time
here.
We got to pay him. I mean, shit.
Not telling
like,
you. He got
what's
coffee.
What's your budget, Gina? What's your budget?
Exactly.
I'll do this for coffee and good conversation.
There you go. And
I got you.
When we do episode 2, which is coming up right after this.
Exactly. All right, guys. You can find me. I'm Gina Savage. You can find me at Savage in the City Picks on Instagram. Savage in the City on Twitter. Thank you for joining us on the Red Light Podcast Redux with Nico White. Special thanks, Jim Verne. Thank you, WROM radio listeners in Detroit. We'll be back next week.
Next week.